Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
You know, he was unbelievable. That first period, he made unbelievable saves to give us a chance to got a little mojo going. You know, once we got that lead, we knew we were going to get it. You know, I'm sorry, I'm so amped up. I'm so sorry. We knew. The boys are so
I've heard that word in hockey before.
I'm terribly sorry.
Okay.
I apologize. But I just, yeah, it was unbelievable. We worked so hard. I don't know what to say. It's amazing.
It is the Hardline, 59 The Fan, KMNS, 59TheFan.com. Your thoughts are welcome all day long, 855-282-8255. TJ Moe, Bob Ramsey, John Hadley, Matt Rocchio here. We're going to read some texts and then get into some discussion about last night's game. The 636 says the Blues were never awful. Early on, lots of bad puck luck, 1-9 in one-goal games through December 5th.
Stop it.
And they get a little pucky lucky and only go 5-5 there in playoff position in December with games in hand. And so I brought up the game log, and let's just take a look.
I was already looking at that.
Yeah, were they unlucky when they lost 5-1 against Winnipeg? Were they unlucky when they lost 7-4 to Columbus? Were they unlucky when they lost 4-0 against the Sharks, 4-1 against the Preds, 8-4 against the Jets? You told me this is all before December 5th, so we'll stay there. How about 6-1 to the Coyotes? 6-1 to Vancouver, 7-2 to Calgary. Those are all losses before the 17th of December.
To
you were getting crushed.
And here's the other thing. To say they weren't bad discredits the effort that went into getting good.
Mm-hmm.
They changed. They changed and got good. Not just the goaltender, but the coach changing the culture and figuring out the personnel and how to make it work better together to get a more cohesive product. So to say, oh, no, they weren't bad. They were, you know, that discredits that effort.
I continue to say this was the most skilled bad team I've ever seen. They were always very skilled, if that's what you mean. They had talent and ability to do what they just did. They were a bad team. There is no and, if, or buts about it. That was a bad hockey team. Let's see. Somebody sends us that on December 18th, a text, a screenshot. He said, I feel like this year the Blues will come out of nowhere and win it all. If I'm wrong, make sure to delete this text in the spring. And there it is.
Very good.
Yeah. Into Joe's K-Ride Magic Man, Hockey Bob is a loser. Goofy bastard was bad-mouthing me in an Uber ride today.
Are you serious?
That's pretty good.
That's funny.
Oh, do we want to hear from our friend Donald Trump's Russian friend, John? You good friends with him?
Yeah, let's bring her on.
All right, let's hear from her. Hi, Miss Putin.
Gentlemen, Comrade Tarasenko must bring Cup back to Russia immediately.
So what happens if he doesn't? What happens if he's got some dental work to do, and you know, he may be here for a little while?
It will be long summer, if not.
Do you guys in Russia not teach what a rub-off means?
What is rub-off?
Well played.
hey guys, thanks for playing along. Well, first off, it's a great day. This is awesome. I just want to say this. I'm 37 years old, so about, 25 to 30 years I've really been able to, of course, follow the Blues, understand hockey. I played hockey all the way up through college. I was a goalie. And if there's one thing about this team is that the one position that was always criticized and always harbored, about was the goaltending. And when it mattered the most was last night. And finally, for once, our goaltender stood tall. He stood strong. He was on his game and he did what needed to be done. And we got it, guys.
Enjoy it, kid.
That's all I wanted to say.
Enjoy it. So, don't let this memory go. You're not going to have many better sports ones. Enjoy it.
I will not. Thanks a lot, guys. I love your show.
Hey, thanks for being a part of it, man. You and all of our other texts, we were just talking about this yesterday. You guys are great at what you do and add a lot to what we do.
Who the hell was talking about that?
John,
they suck.
John brought it up right after somebody said the other half of his family was ranch.
Oh, goodness. That was incredible. All right, kid.
And one other thing real quick. Rammer, I'm a SLU grad. We'll always love hearing you. And Hadley, love you, buddy. And TJ, I'm telling you right now, man, the way you've turned around your hockey knowledge, You're really good with football, of course, great with baseball, but man, the way you've turned your hockey knowledge around, I'm really, really enjoying hearing you on the radio as well, man. Love you all. Let's go Blues. Enjoy Saturday, boys.
Thanks for listening, dude, and thanks for all the texts. Donald Trump's Russian friend with a fun phone call here. We have a lot of, we have a ton of texts. We want to get to some stuff, so I'm going to kind of sprinkle them in as we go. We'll go to one more, and then Rammer has been trying to get into really the meat of what happened last night, because there is a lot of different angles there, too. 618, very emotional game for me last night. I'm 49, lifelong fan. The Blues have been a part of our family from day one, the entire day yesterday. I was on edge. I could not get anything done. I wish I wasn't such a fan, because I would have enjoyed the game so much more. I still cannot believe it this morning. Let's go Blues. That is from Michael, who is from the 618.
Well, very representative.
There was one gentleman who called in and said he wasn't comfortable until it was 3-0. I will say this much. I was confident all day long yesterday. I was relieved when it was 3-0.
Agreed.
I was relieved.
And I wasn't comfortable till the fourth goal. That's when I texted and tweeted. Ball game.
We have one. I said last, but that I can't go past this one before we go. A splashback deuce. Hundreds of thousands of hot dogs later, and the Blues are Stanley Cup champions. I'm happy for guys like John Hadley today. All right, Rammer, your thoughts on the actual breakdown of the game yesterday?
I thought it was interesting. I thought the Blues played differently and better. I thought they played differently than their Game 5 win, which was almost a slugfest, almost a physical domination that they got clearly away from in Game 6. We all agree to that?
Yes.
But last night, it wasn't like Game 5. It was, I think, guys, I thought it was a change that went more to addressing defensive responsibilities rather than creating physical mismatches and overmatches. And it reminded me a little bit of the movie Slapshot, when the Charlestown Chiefs had kind of slugged their way to play for the whole deal, and then this happened.
See, Ned was right. Violence is killing this sport. It's dragging it through the mud. If things keep up the way they are, hockey players will be nothing but actors, punks. Well, I'm not playing my last game that way.
Last game?
Yeah. It's my last game, and I want to play it straight. No more nail him, no more f*** with him. That's finished. I want to win that championship tonight, but I want to win it clean. Old-time hockey. Like when I got started, you know? Geez, Toe Blake, Dick Clapper, Eddie Shore, those guys were the greats. I don't know what to say. Christ, it's up to you.
Reg is our coach.
Yeah, sure, old-time hockey.
Like Eddie Shore.
Yeah,
that'd be... Coach, our line starts?
Sure.
So, our line starts. Who did the Blues start? Boston did, too. Started the fourth line. The guys go out and grind. Yep. Now, as we all know, though, in the movie, they played old-time hockey and were getting their asses beat. until the GM said, there are scouts in their with contracts in their pockets.
The best part about that is that there's like an entire minute of audio, and then one of the players very calm. You just hear him pipe it from the back. Scouts?
Scouts?
That's pretty
great. Anyway, it reminded me of that. Now, to get back to reality, the Blues game was so much cleaner. And now we know, everybody knew or assumed that the referees were going to put the whistles away. But there weren't a bunch of hits that you go, uh-oh, that should, you know, that would have been a whistle. That would have been a whistle. I thought the Blues played really clean and really smart, and it was a juxtaposition from Game 1. I remember complaining the next day how the Bruins seemed to be in the passing lane every time the Blues tried to make a pass. Those were long passes. The Blues were intercepting passes and shots that were all within 20 feet, 30 feet of the goal. I thought it was really a remarkable, disciplined defensive effort.
I fully agree, and I noticed the same thing last night, that guys weren't flying around hitting. They were flying around. There was a moment in the second period where I thought that there's nobody skating past this team today. This is a fast team. And they get like that when they're in a groove. But we've been watching them fly around trying to kill guys.
Yeah.
They were flying around getting open. And that is a different look than we've seen. And truly, I don't know what the adjustment is with Craig Berube and what he decided to do, but I think it threw Boston off.
I think you're right. And that's why, with all due credit to all of our brethren in the media, I'd like to hear somebody, maybe us, get Berube in a room in a long-form interview and actually get deep into the weeds, deep into inside hockey, not just about the decisions to change the way they played, but all of his decisions from when he came on board. And not just, you know, what you get now is, well, you know, the boys trusted each other and they worked hard. Yeah. But you had to make specific hockey decisions along the way, not just with lineups, but with style. And I'd really love to get deep into the weeds with him about those things, because I assume it started in December, but maybe from the day he came on board, and the evolution and all those decisions along the way that turned out on the ice there in Boston with the Stanley Cup. I think it'd be fascinating.
I'll second that motion, because anytime that we can go deep into weed, I'm all for it.
And John will be dead before we get any honesty. If Berube were like, if this were Dick Vermeil and he retired after winning, he came in, won a championship, be a little different, you may get the inside scoop. A guy that is just getting going, you're
might
not going to hear a thing. I would love to.
That's why it would probably take somebody like Chris Kerber doing a long form.
Yeah.
Tell me about the day you did this.
Yeah.
And what you really thought about it. Or tell me about day you had to move Braden Schenn off the top line. And you know, I think those kinds of personnel moves and changes that probably 95% of them worked beautifully, maybe 98%. It really amazing coaching, an example of how coaches can really affect things.
Yeah. It's the one thing I wanted to mention about the game was, again, every step of the way, there were certain guys that we questioned, and rightfully so, certain guys that we doubted, and rightfully so, that stood up and had their moment. You know, even a guy like Jay Bouwmeester, who at times was very strong again last night. The coolest thing from an individualistic standpoint, aside from Binnington for me, was watching 27 have the best playoff game of his career in the most important playoff game of his career. Petrangelo was spectacular last night. Absolutely spectacular start to finish.
I heard O'Reilly give a quote a couple days ago about you have to figure out how to play the very best game of your entire life. And obviously a number of players, Riley, and in particular Petrangelo, took that to heart.
Yeah.
The only other guy that got a vote for the Conn Smythe was Jordan Binnington. He got 5. O'Reilly got the rest. So I think there's 20 voters, something like that. Interestingly, Tuukka Rask still got a bunch of second-place votes. Nobody voted him first there. That's just, you know, I know Glenn Hull did it somehow when they got swept out back in 68. I don't know how many losing
players. That was because they should have been beaten 12-0 every game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I didn't see the game. I mean, I was like 6 years old, but I just remember my uncles, God bless their heart, may they rest in peace, big-time hockey fans, used to tell me all the time that Glenn Hull was just so spectacular.
Did you see the video of him yesterday giving the pump up for the Blues? He was wearing a Blues jersey. You
know, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see it either.
The Blues posted it. It was a Let's Go Blues from him with his old Blues jersey on. I don't know if it's him or a modern one. Standing in front of kind of a fireplace at his house. He's an old fella now, of course.
He was old then. Yeah,
exactly. He was well into his 30s then.
Yeah. And so he won the Conn Smythe. He's the second Blues player to win the Conn Smythe, obviously, O'Reilly last night. And I don't know how often a losing player has done that in modern day. It seems like now modern day we're like, who played the best in the winning team? And that's who gets it. It doesn't really, because Tuukka Rask in reality was the best player in this series.
How come he didn't have a ring then?
Well, I think oftentimes, I mean, we could say that
he was really good.
Yeah.
He was really good. The one thing I wanted to say about O'Reilly, and this is because I got into a little Twitter war with a guy who was trying to be one of those, I'm not going to let anybody have pure joy. I'm going to ruin everyone's joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to do that now, but I think we in the media and fans too kind of get caught up into the moment. Speaking of O'Reilly's Conn Smythe, there's another guy I'd like to get away from soundbite interview and really figure it out. We felt, you and I, TJ, felt something as the playoffs went on, that O'Reilly, seemed a little compromised. Mm-hmm. But something happened, could have been coincidentally, but we felt like with a couple of extra days off, he seemed recharged for the final. Yeah.
Did you hear what he said? He had a broken rib.
I did not hear that.
So his dad came out after the game and told him, and then he confirmed it. He had a broken rib. He got hit against Winnipeg, and then he really got hit against Dallas. He had a broken rib, and he's like, it was really caused me a lot of discomfort during faceoffs especially. He said, we got a little bit of time in between the San Jose series, but then I got roughed up again. The week off before the final got him almost back to normal.
Yeah, I didn't where was that? Was that on one of the post games or?
Yeah, it was on social media and post games.
Because I was flipping around. I must have missed it. So I feel a little vindicated because we thought that was the case.
Absolutely.
And it made a difference. So while he still gave you effort, you could tell there was something that was compromised. It was the finals. You know, that was the guy.
That's right. You know, it's I don't know if you guys have done it. I have not personally done it. I've had bruised ribs.
I had a broken rib when I was a little kid. It's tough.
Okay. And my dad has, and so he was a little bit older when he was probably in his 40s when I, like, playing basketball. And it's like, you can't breathe well sitting down with a cracked rib, much less go out there and play the physical game of hockey and be in there grinding. I mean, no wonder you couldn't win a faceoff. And not to throw anybody under the bus today, Gino Ogic was all over him. Yeah, he's taking faceoffs against guys that are good at faceoffs now. He was never, and we're like, okay, bro. Yeah, he had a broken rib. That's why.
Yeah.
How these guys who are winning 55% of their faceoffs all year are doing faceoffs against the same guys he's winning 57% against. So now all of a sudden he just can't do it against the good guys. So there you go. Oh, yeah, Injun Joe's K-Ride Magic Man. Fatty is right. If Binnington doesn't make the right pad save, it is a totally different game.
Yeah, probably. But yeah.
Let's not be redundant. I mean, what, you know what? With all due respect to your kind words, it's news when I'm wrong.
Okay. All right. Eastside Warrior, last night was without a doubt a top three sports moment for me. Only the 82 Cardinals World Series win when I was 10 years old when Suter struck out the final batter in the Rams Super Bowl win with a game-ending tackle after the Warner to a Bruce touchdown pass was better. The fact that we beat Boston makes it all the better.
Yeah, well, I did a list earlier, John. I had this Stanley Cup as the number one in specific team sports story for this market in history. And I had the 82 series number six, but I had the Super Bowl number two.
See, I would stick with who just texted that in?
That was East Side Warrior.
I would stick with him because the 82 Cardinals, that was the first championship I'd ever seen a St. Louis team win. Now, playoffs for the entire playoff run, I like I said before, I can't imagine this ever being surpassed, this Blues run. But the Blues victory last night would be number two on my list only because the Cardinals broke my cherry. Nothing more. I mean, because I was at the game. As I think I've mentioned to you on a couple of occasions, because of Bob Costas being kind and NBC Sports getting me and my two brothers went to the game, and we were sitting behind third base, so we had phenomenal seats, phenomenal view of the game, and seeing firsthand Suter punch his arm into the air and winning that championship. Because again, people tend to forget Milwaukee was a favorite in that series. Milwaukee was thought to be an unbelievable power team with power pitchers that
Harvey's
couldn't be beat.
Wallbangers.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, it wasn't like you expected the Cardinals to go in and win that series. You were hoping, but you weren't expecting. You know. So I mean, that was
that's right.
That forever. You know, it's like most anything in life. Your first is meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Jeff on Twitter commenting on the 41.8 rating for the Blues last night in St. Louis. He says, but we're not a sports town. What the F ever? Well done. I like it.
No, nobody
with any sense or any knowledge, anybody who's not a complete moron doesn't buy that narrative around the country. Or lazy. There's a lot of smart journalists that are lazy and go to that. But anybody that pays any attention doesn't use that narrative anymore.
No. And the problem becomes, I am 125.677% positive St. Louis is a great NFL town.
Of course it is.
They just never really became a great Rams town, thanks in part to the overall issue with the network itself, or with the franchise itself, and with the Cardinals, they were just beaten down. You know, I mean, they were just. I mean, I witnessed a good portion of that Cardinal run. It was very, very tough, very, very tough
because of bad organizations.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean. The Cardinals turned around after we went to Arizona when Bidwell turned it over to his son.
Right.
Old man Bidwell running the team was horrid. It was a horrid franchise.
No question.
And the Rams.
But fans came out when they were even, if there was a sniff of competitiveness, came out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely no question. But, I mean, that's sort of viewed, and rightfully so in certain ways, about being bandwagon jumpers. But, I mean, there's not a week. Bob. There's not a week that will pass during a football season that we won't be a remote, or I'll be walking through a Schnucks or a CVS or anywhere, and people aren't asking me, hey, what's your favorite bet? What's this? At? When it comes to the NFL and college football, St. Louis is diehard Mizzou town like some – You know, but tell me how many top 25 cities are diehard college football towns.
No, it's a pro town.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No doubt about it.
But, I mean, most top 25 cities are. You know, I mean,
yeah, that's fair.
You know, I mean, Kansas City is somewhat of an aberration, mainly.
Because of the proximity to KU?
To KU.
And on the Kansas side.
And Mizzou.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mizzou combined with not having a NHL team. Mm. Or an NBA team, and nowadays, you know, a horrid baseball franchise. You know, I mean, in many ways, the only difference is winning championships. In many ways, the Kansas City Royals remind me of the old St. Louis football Cardinals, because during the Coryell years, there was two, maybe three years where it was like
really fun.
Unbelievable.
Really fun.
And the rest of it was excruciating.
Yeah.
Kansas City had, what, two straight World Series runs and won one.
14 and 15.
And it's sort of been sandwiched by 25 years of horrid baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs in between that time.
You know, so, no, it's.
Courtney D on the text line here says, I didn't cry, but I kind of wanted to. I did see a 60-year-old guy cry at the post in Fenton. Uh-oh. Gave him a hug and some dap. It was awesome.
Had I gone down to the post in Fenton, where I love to go, I would have been that guy.
Hey, why are you leaving people on the line here?
Who's in line?
I don't know. I keep seeing this name, Jane.
Hi,
Moore.
Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there?
How you doing?
Hey, man.
I'm there. How you guys doing?
I did not see you on the line. I apologize.
I apologize that TJ showed That's you okay. incredible disrespect. Incredible disrespect.
Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I'll be 63 next month. And I go back to the original days when the team got here. The very first game I got to see the Blues play the Chicago Blackhawks with Stan Mikita and Bobby Hall. The second game I got to see Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito in the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. I ended up buying, again, too, not trying to give you the whole story of my life, I ended up getting season tickets back in the mid-70s with my friends in high school. We kind of split season tickets up. I lived through the horrible firing of Scotty Bowman. The death of Bob Gassoff.
Yep.
Some really bad hockey in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't know if you remember, Bob, remember when at the one time Derek Sanderson played for the Blues? They had what they called the famed helicopter line, no wings. It was Sanderson, Chuck Lefley, and a guy named Claude LaRose.
Yep, I loved them. And Lefley was one of my all-time favorites.
I mean, it was kind of like a soft version of Slapshot. Remember they had that guy named Jack Eagers? He couldn't shoot a puck on net. Everything he shot went over the boards and out of the
smoking,
you know,
Jack
out
Eagers.
The crowd. Yeah.
Smoking, yeah. Jack Eagers.
Smoking Jack Eagers.
Lefley could score. Lefley could score now.
Lefley was really good.
Lefley and Sanderson and LaRose were great together. You know, one of the things, too, you know, you're talking about the best teams. I go back to the best team that never played for the St. Louis Blues, but was the best on paper, was when Ron Curran and Mike Shanahan were able to get Scott Stevens, and then they went and signed Brendan Shanahan. Could you imagine how good that team would have been with Brendan Shanahan, Hall & Oates, along with Scott Stevens?
Yes, I can imagine, and I'm still bitter.
I am too. I, in fact, like I say, I've got a friend of my son. I have a son who's 36 years old, or 33 years old, I'm sorry. And he has a friend of his who's a diehard Jersey fan. We sat there one night with a drink, and this kid tried to tell me, and Bob, you're going to laugh at this. He tried to tell me the New Jersey Devils would have won those Stanley Cup championships without Scott Stevens.
Oh, please.
Yeah, he had too many drinks.
I looked at this kid, called him every name in the book that would make you so mentally unstable, along with things you would do with a horse, a pig, and a cow that no man should do. When he tried to tell me that those New Jersey Devils would have won those Stanley Cups without.
Crazy.
That man should have gone home and smacked his wife, because there's no way that boy came from his loins.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now, John. I would have slapped him stupid, but when he said that comment, he was already there. But, you know, like I say, I'm with you guys. I've seen all the highs and lows. You know, I was very, very sad when, you know, when I heard the passing of Dan Kelly. You know, I've been there and been through the wars like the rest of you guys have been. And you guys, first of all, what a great show. You take people's calls. I'm not a texter. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me talk to you guys about what I've seen. And again, last night, I did cry at the end of the game. I'd seen it all, guys. And, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Jim, thanks so much, man.
No, thanks for bringing up Bob Gassoff, my all-time favorite player. Still my all-time favorite player.
Is that
player.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it a motorcycle crash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Courtney D on the text. I'm going to try to get to a bunch of these because we're behind on the text here and a lot from you guys today. He said, I read that one. So Tim Van Gelder says, interesting, the balance of the Blues lines was shown throughout the playoffs. Versus Winnipeg, the Schwartz line was dominant. Dallas, Maroon Bozak line, San Jose, Sonny Steen and Barbashev in the final. O'Reilly, the skate boy skate happened, Rammer.
Yep.
There it is.
Hey, real quick, I want to mention this. This is pretty cool, Bob. This will be a fun match. St. Louis FC.
I just saw that.
Drew Cincinnati next Wednesday night.
At Soccer Park, assuming the water's good.
Right. That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Second straight MLS challenge.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about the greatest things the other night against the Chicago Fire. Greatest win ever for the FC. Really, really good times for them.
No doubt. That'll be a fun match. I may go to that one. You want to see your first St. Louis FC game, kid?
When is it?
Next Wednesday night.
Sure.
Let's try and make that happen.
Yeah.
We should all go out there.
Especially if it's in Fenton or even out the alma mater.
We'll stop at Smoothie King. We'll all get smoothies and take them out there.
There we go.
You bring the Smoothie King. You get the tickets. I'll bring the glaucoma medicine.
Yeah. Courtney D says, I felt after the hand pass that it was the Blues time. The Cavaliers, Cubs, and Caps all did it. Why not the Blues? And he did say, cool was it when Barkley said he was rooting for the Blues?
Very
in the broadcast.
Cool. Very cool.
I love Chuck. He's
Chuck
great.
Is terrific.
3-on-4. Can we fill the cup with bleach and use it to drown Hadley, please? John?
That's a little harsh, but the answer is yes.
We could.
Well, yeah, yes.
You're asking if it's possible. Yes, of course.
Once again, I don't get it. Why these guys? I mean, how am I going to fit in the cup?
No. We'll waterboard you with it.
Okay.
Which makes it totally plausible. Spider Guy, my friend's dad, read that one already. The Angry Cadby, I would gladly eat my words if I could, but John already took care of that. My words were Oscar and Meyer. Triple Lakes Club Pro, my 3-year-old woke up this morning and said, "We effing did it. Let's go Blues." I could not be more proud of him.
Good for you.
Hung Daddy, which is
what
John goes by, and no one else calls him that, but he refers to himself as that, is sending a missing person poster of Brett Hull. Tim Van Gelded, I've only had this feeling of inevitable victory early in the ride three times, the 82 Cardinals, these Blues, and Lake Placid in 1980.
Still probably the single greatest sporting event I've ever witnessed on TV.
Yeah,
I didn't see it till later. I was aware of it, but I didn't see it till later.
Yeah. Okay. So you didn't live through the emotions of the live
of the moment.
That's what makes it, obviously.
I remember. I can't remember, but I was somewhere and heard they went. They what? You know, it was that
right.
kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then went back and saw a replay. And, yeah.
Z-Bo's wrestling buddy. Can the Blues give Mike Yo a ring? Without him, none of this would have been possible.
Well,
I would imagine, truthfully, I would imagine they might very well get a ring.
He might.
Yeah, oh, yeah. This is true. Look, I was on. The Patriots went in 2013, went to the AFC Championship game. If they won, I was getting a ring. Like that. If you played in a game, and sometimes it's a certain amount or whatever, there's way more in hockey, of course. But he started the season, he's getting a ring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he'll want the ring, but he's getting it. He could sell
it. That'd be weird.
Doug's prison wallet. I had 45 minutes of sleep, and I am still drunk.
There you go.
618, finally, after 52 years, the other shoe did not drop.
The pie did not come off the ceiling and hit the lady in the face.
Man. Although a couple times I've come off the ceiling to hit the pie.
Oh,
but
no.
But my point
Why
being.
Why did you say that?
Unbelievable.
What I'm trying to get at.
What are you doing on the ceiling?
Flying high.
Let's just say it's an old Dory Funk Jr. roof.
They built the house weird. They're getting you down. 314, I'm also happy for guys like Ray Borelli, who's been through all the crappy teams throughout the years.
You can't spend a day in the media without having an appreciation for Ray Borelli. Yeah, very good for him. I agree 100%.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. I was, John, you were late for the show, as you,
yeah,
as
you
usually
it.
Are.
We really had a good show early.
Jim in Crestwood, guys, let's not forget former Blue and longtime Blue employee Bruce Affleck.
Yeah, Bruce, of course, all those guys. I didn't want to go through all the names and all the friends, but like when the 10-year period that I was there virtually every day, you know, even salespeople like my buddies John and Wes back in the 80s and 90s and Susie Matthew and Bruce Affleck and
Susie
Tracy
Matthew.
Lovaz and all of our friends that put in the work and the time all those years, and that's of my time. So now you go back to the early 80s and back to the 70s and all the people there that lived through ups and downs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
We could name probably 500 names.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time you name somebody else is going to.
Yeah.
Mike Caruso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did text Mike last night, and this was kind of an emotional moment for me. But I texted him. I go, I remember the day that Tracy Lovaz, who was a marketing person, good friend over at the Blues, called me at Channel 11 and said, we need an intern. I need somebody, though, really good. Don't send us a mook. You know, send us somebody really, really good. And Caruso's time with us was just about up. So I said, yeah, you got to talk to Mike Caruso. And he's still there. It was pretty cool.
I sent him a text saying, hey, thanks for failing to help me buy tickets for game 6. Enjoy your last game with the St. Louis Blues.
And he can't tell you the rest of what he said. It was very mean. Peter Dinklage's third leg says, hey, Pete, drink bleach. That's not.
Seems unpleasant.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Pete? Who's?
Pete was a caller earlier. The Veiled Prophet. This is how we treat our callers around here on the text line. I just don't read most of them. The Veiled Prophet says.
So hold on. Some guy who's referencing himself
as Peter Dinklage's third leg.
As a midget, basically calling himself a penis.
Yeah, so he's not the midget.
How could you take umbrage with somebody? I don't get it.
No, let's move on.
John, you don't get many things, though. It makes more sense to Raymer doesn't get it.
I get nothing anymore, but that's another story.
October, the Veiled Prophet, October 1972, I was 6 months old. My first game, my late dad was the second season ticket holder in 67 and held tickets for the Braves when the CHL was here before the Blues.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Last night I cried more than I have ever in my life. My wife posted every single video frame of it on Facebook. I feel like this isn't real. And he sent in a picture of him totally decked out in all his Stanley Cup.
That's amazing because I'll be honest, I was a kid in the 60s and read the sporting news cover to cover every week. Yep. But I was really not, even as a kid, really aware of the Braves in minor league hockey. And then when the Blues hit the scene, that's when it, as I related before, meeting Noel Picard made me a Blues fan. And so,
and that's, I mean, seriously, that's one of the coolest aspects of this whole thing for guys our age. I mean, I'm sure for some youngsters, but, you know, it's just, you just sort of go back in your mind, you know, and you think about, I mean, my uncles, it was Jimmy Castellano, Andy Pohl. I mean, those guys, they owned a bar down in the Central West End where a lot of Billiken players who probably mm-hmm. shouldn't but did go down there after. That's how I got introduced to hockey, was the St. Louis Billiken collegiate team.
In the 70s?
Yes.
They were fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. And then graduated to the Blues, but, you know, they got me involved with sports. My grandfather was one who got me involved with football, my father with baseball. You know, you just sort of sit back and you go through your memories, and that makes it even that much more enjoyable. To reminisce, you know. I mean, TJ's memory goes back as far as his daddy whooping his ass for being, well, DJ.
We move on.
I got one text before we go to break here. Concerned Blues fan 1951, I think speaks for John and many of you. I was 16 when the Blues entered the NHL. No sleep, no alcohol at all last night. Elevated heart rate and now pinching myself to see if this is real. I can now die a happy man.
It does. There are moments where it still seems unreal. No question about it.
Yeah, he didn't say no weed, which is why I said he could speak for John. Yeah. All right, let's go to break. We'll be back in a bit. It's a hard line.